You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
Yes, a YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet to get an isolation with the linebacker. Tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here.
What's up, guys? Welcome into Packers Total Access. My name is Clayton. You can check us out on Packernet.com. Find me on Twitter at Packers_Access. Email us, PackersTotalAccess@gmail.com. Text us, 865-658-5824. Joined alongside Tim live in Green Bay, we've got Emilio fresh out of the cardboard castle that he built back there in the backyard. The rain kind of soaked that thing down.
That was the problem. Yeah, I didn't plan for the rain. whole roof caved in.
I love it. There wasn't no roof on the picture we got, so that must have been fake news there. So I don't know, man. Had a nice little sunroof on, if you will.
Yeah. But
I know this. The chat is absolutely lit up. I looked up, and there was like 30 comments before we went live. So everybody in here hanging out. Appreciate y'all swinging through. We got United Bates in the house, Mark Zambito, Paul Robertson, Mr. Larry. Let's see who else here. Coach Lynn in the house. We got David Mitchell, M. Smitty, Prince, everybody in here, man.
M. Smitty, we can thank for that cardboard castle there. That was M. Smitty's post on Twitter. Yeah, for sure.
I love it, dude. Yeah, you guys that are connected with us on Twitter, you get anything like that, I can't guarantee it'll make it into the show, but send them over either to Tim or me. You know, Tim's got a better memory than me. Yeah, most of the time people send stuff and I go, who sent that? But Tim knows he's on his A game. So I was telling these boys offline, man, I eat about 2 pounds of meatloaf just a second ago and I'm hurting over here. I'm just trying to get to the 40-minute mark and we're going to deuce out here. So there you go. I do want to say this. That's a good segue, I guess. Emilio is gone already. It's funny how that works, Tim. He's already out of here, man. I'll tell you, that dude, he is he's squirrely as they come, and I think that's what we dig about him. So we had obviously the owner meetings carrying on today. I know Mark Murphy spoke several times, got a couple of LaFleur quotes as well. Matt Schnaubman has done an excellent job on Twitter just, you know, filming some of those questions and sharing them with everyone. Across the internet there, so we can kind of stay up to date with what's going on. I'm not going to dive into the whole Lambeau Field thing. Tim, did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that about the
it's a the big negotiations. Yeah, it's a big nothing burger, man. When I read the first couple tweets, I was like, man, what are they? So they can't get on the same page with Lambeau? Like, what are we talking about? And then they said, well, no, it's under contract for the next 9 years, but there it's like, guys. Do we really think that the Packers aren't going to be playing at Lambeau Field? What are we talking about?
Typical offseason fodder right here. A lot of people just overreacting to a big nothing burger, like you just said. So
that's exactly what it is. Yeah. So that's not the Mark Murphy stuff we're going to hit on. We just got a couple of cool comments from Mark Murphy, just talking about a couple of different things. We'll just kind of touch on those. If we need to fill some time, we may do a mock at the end. I doubt it, because I think we've got enough to talk about here, but I do want to lead off with this important comment right here. Emilio went next door and reset the neighbor's Wi-Fi, so we're good now.
Yeah.
Paul Robertson in the chat says, United Bates has chrome wheels on his push mower. United Bates rolling in it over there. But, so let's see what LaFleur had to say earlier today. He was asked specifically about A.J. Dillon, and I don't want to read too much into it, but it kind of perked my ears a little bit. And I'm trying to think of who else tweeted it out. There was someone earlier that tweeted it out. It might have been Ryan Wood. I should have got the name. But, when this was mentioned about A.J. Dillon, how they may or may not use him this year, I know my first thoughts really lined up with the tweet, which was, are we maybe talking about a little H-back here? You know, could be. I don't think it's ideal for A.J. Dillon, but this is just a quick little quote from Coach LaFleur at the owners' meetings. Let's see what the coach had to say.
We're getting with A.J. Dillon. I think there's some versatility that we can start to use with him moving forward, and trying to be more of a movable piece, not just a tailback.
So it sounds like, you know, not much of nothing, right? But when he said we can start to use him that way, it almost leads you to believe, like, okay, what changed? You know what I mean? What changed that we're now saying we can start to use him like that? First thing that came to mind for me is Josiah DeGuara probably won't be back, right? And we know he was kind of drafted to be that H-back. What if they are bringing Dillon back to play kind of that H-back role? Now, obviously, I'm not talking about him attached to the line where sometimes they would, you know, pre-snap motion the H up to that wing position. It would be more of a traditional fullback top role. They may be trying to look at him to use him a little bit like Juszczyk. On the surface, Tim, I want to say, no, AJ's not built like that. You know, it's not his game. But last year in the passing game, man, he was pretty solid, I felt like. He made some crucial catches down the stretch there and some good yak after the catch, too.
I agree. I mean, my initial reaction was,
he can block.
Hey.
But, you know, I mean, it's not that far-fetched to see him in that quote-unquote fullback type of role or you know, blocking, more of a blocking back, and utilizing him in pass pro in some of those short passes. And I think that's kind of what Tupac LaFleur was alluding to there in his comments, that you know, he's familiar with AJ's game, and he's, you know, he's been here for a few years, and it might be time to expand that role a little bit. And you know, looking at our tight end room right now, you know, I think our tight ends will probably be utilized, you know, better than just being, you know, H-back role. And I think, you know, with the addition of Josh Jacobs, maybe sliding Dillon into a little more double duty, so to speak, kind of makes sense going forward. I think he can handle it. I really do. I don't think it's that far of a stretch.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. I don't think it is either. Speaking of double duty, AFAM says Paul has a life alert integrated on with a snowblower. So there you go. Got it hooked right to the pacemaker, don't he there, AFAM?
Yeah, it's like the treadmill. You know, if you fall off the treadmill, it pulls the cord. Yeah.
Right. And you've seen some videos where that didn't work either, boy. It talked across the room.
Those are rough.
Yeah, they really are. What do you think about A.J. Dillon potentially having a little bit different role here, Emilio? I mean, you talk about the running game a lot, you know, obviously playing a little football in your younger days and, you know, a little more familiar with the running back position. Do you think AJ could play a little fullback?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I played growing up, right, was fullback. I just like cracking heads and stuff. And AJ's not opposed to that, right? And if he's able to, you know, make more contact when he doesn't have to worry about the ball. And honestly, the bigger thing is we have Josh Jacobs now, right? A.J. Dillon knows where he's at. He knew that he was second back, you know, to Aaron Jones to begin with. But when Aaron Jones went out, he got a lot of playing time, right? He's not on the list for a bunch of playing time this year if they plan to, you know, work Josh Jacobs like you know, a workhorse. So if he wants to be on the field, he's going to have to, you know, say, hey, I want to play football, right? I want to go out on the field and I want to play. I want to be a part of this team. So I'll play H-back, you know. Hey, if there's an opening at left tackle, I'll go play left tackle. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the kind of grind you kind of want from him. I played nose guard a couple times, like, and I was like, 115 pounds, like, you know, I was soaking wet sort of thing, but just to get on the field, right? You just want to be out there. So I think he's a football player, and I think he wants to, you know, be a part of this team. So I wouldn't be opposed to it at all.
Yeah, you know, I don't think he had a horrible year last year. I really don't. Now, obviously, the injuries kind of piled up there at the end, and it's not out of the question that you take a couple of running backs here in the offseason and you end up cutting Dylan, right? They're not really on the hook for any much, if anything at all, with that contract and them utilizing that fourth year option, whatever you want to call it. So,
right,
definitely something that can come into play there.
What do you think about, like, throwing the ball out to him versus throwing the ball out to DeGuara? Like, what's your take on something like that?
Yeah, I'll take AJ Dillon all day long.
I agree, man. DeGuara, and I don't mean to pile on, but, you know, I was excited about DeGuara. He came from the same school that Travis Kelce did. We're integrating this new Matt LaFleur offense. It's like, this guy is going to be our use check. And, man, it just did not pan out. And,
yeah,
you know, you can see it in the PFF grades. You can see it on the tape. You can see it in the stat column. Like, he didn't show up anywhere other than people like Tucker Kraft talking about Josiah being just an absolute leader in the locker room, which kind of reminds me, like Andy Monday says, William Henderson 2.0. He wasn't much of a running back, but versatile as a screen receiver, a pretty good blocker too, Andy. And the thing that I tie together there, the same is like with an AJ Dillon, and, you know, mentioning Josiah DeGuara as well. If I remember correctly, William Henderson, I believe, was a captain too. He was one of those players that was around for a long time. I got to meet him once at an autograph session in Green Bay. That might have been the first time I ever went to Green Bay, Wisconsin, in 2003. And, man, he was awesome, absolutely awesome. Had them eyes, too, if you ever met him. Mm-hmm. He had, like, a bluish-green eye, you know, and as a
those Randall Cobb eyes.
Yeah, exactly. I immediately thought of Ike Taylor. At the time, I hadn't heard it. But as I was describing to you guys, I could hear Ike Taylor talking about Randall Cobb saying, "Boy, you know you're cute." William Henderson stared into my soul that day. I was like, "Ike blue? What in the world's going on here?" Super cool dude, man. He was awesome.
Yeah. The only thing that would worry me is, you know, Sif blocking. I don't think he'd have a problem, you know, going downhill and hitting somebody in the hole. But, like, the only thing is a Sif block, but you kind of need that in Matt's offense. We could, you know, we could fake it so many times and before they're going to bite onto it, right? Where he goes across and, you know, and then it's a fake block leak route. But well, that would be my only concern. But, and I don't think he would be opposed to it. But again, we just got to work on it. Right?
Yeah. You know, with AJ Dillon, like what Emilio's saying here, guys, when we talk about Sif blocking, we're talking about a tight end lining up on the wing. The ball snapped. It's, some people call it split zone. Some people call it split flow. But the block that's involved is what they refer to as a Sif block, where, let's say, you've got someone lined up on the left wing, right? And you're going to go with a weak side run or even really a strong side run. But as soon as the ball snapped, that wing tight end will come straight across the formation and crack. And the goal is for the right tackle on the, not on the run side, but on the opposite side, to just completely ignore his edge defender and try to grab a gap inside so that Sif comes across, he catches the edge, and then what you see many times, and Aaron Jones did it as good as anyone on that split flow, split zone run, is he would start on the strong side, the split flow would happen, you'd have the Sif, they would pick up that gap, and he could hit a cutback weak side and off to the races. So,
right.
Yeah, I don't like him with that lateral movement, so I agree with you there. But, Emilio, if we're going to run something like a power or a halfback lead, put him in the A-gap and just let him knock somebody's teeth down their throat, right?
And I think Matt would like the option of, like, being able to hand the ball off a little bit more, right? We, from the fullback position, you know, halfway up the field, or even from the wing position, maybe he dials something up where it's, like, you know, a step motion and he comes underneath and it's, like, a little, you know, a little one or a three trap, you know, something like that. But I think that would kind of open up his bag of tricks a little bit more. But again, we'll see. Matt's gonna do his thing.
Absolutely. Prince in the chat says, so scratch Ben Sinnott off the draft day list. There you go. I was trying to see where I had Ben Sinnott here real quick, because I know many people were high on him. I think I had him a little lower on my board. Let me check real quick. There's Theo Johnson in the 80 spot. Then I got Dallin Holker in the 83rd spot. Where is he at? There's Jared Wiley in the 99 spot. I know that I was kind of surprised that he was so low, Jaheim Bell at 126. Ben Sinnott I had at 132. So I had him a little bit lower.
Hey, what's wrong with long snapping, Blake B? I did that too. As a, you know, you got to just play every position, right? So you
can do what you got. Right?
Hey, if AJ wants to take over, man, it's you know, all you got to do is run down the field and tackle somebody.
We know snap the freaking ball, Emilio.
Too many syllables, man. I'll tell you, snap the effing ball, Josh, flowed off the tongue. So
yeah, it really did.
Well, one of my favorite moments, I swear. I felt it too. When he said it, I was going, thank you, Aaron. Mm-hmm. God, what are we doing? What are we doing here?
Somebody said it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see here. Yeah, Deadfish says Henderson had shoulders on his shoulders, man. He wore those big pads. Oh,
the old school pads.
Yeah. And they kind of sloped down. You know what I mean? It wasn't like just the big square ones. They kind of sloped down. He looked like just an absolute monster out there, man. Let's see what else we got here. Drew D in the chat said, my boy Connor Williams is still out there. Smiley emoji. It's true, man. Center Connor Williams, obviously the market is a little bit cold on him because of the ACL tear late in the season. Right. You guys know how I feel about it. I'd be totally fine with him investing a little bit of money for the future and going, hey, this might be the center of the future. Once that ACL heals up, you can have him for 2 or 3 years and get a Pro Bowl caliber, you know, center play. That would be ideal for me. Again, with the IR rules and stuff too, you can just throw him on the IR, and when he's ready, you can activate him, you know, that type of thing. But I have a feeling with as deep, they say that the interior offensive line in this draft is deeper than it's been in a long time. So I would say Goody's got his eyes on someone that could potentially take over at center, whether it be this year or next year, you know. So, but yeah, I'm on board with Connor Williams too for the right price for sure, Drew. AFAM in the chat says, Paul wears a cup when he bowls. So there you go. Who do you think you are? I am out there. Let's see here. Drew D said, I'm a big fan of Ben Sinnott, but I really did not expect a 9.75 RAS. That's crazy. And, hey, if you look at the RASs from last year, you know, with Goody's draft class taking the tight ends that he did, obviously that was a big part of it, right? If we pull it up here, you got Luke Musgrave at a 9.78 and Tucker Kraft at a 9.68. So you never know, man, if he falls far enough. Maybe Goody would pull the trigger on that, right, and say, okay, that's our DeGuara replacement. It's definitely possible. Andy Monday in the chat said, I like Sims, but let's not ignore drafting a tight end if one's on the board. It goes for any position, Andy. If you got the best player available on the board as a position you're already stacked at, don't be surprised if Goody pulls the trigger. That includes quarterback too, man. You know, you got to trust the board, and you treat some positions more important than others. Obviously, tight end is one of those that's not at the top of the priority list as far as tiers of importance, but yeah, I'm on board with that too. Paul Robertson says if they draft a tight end, he's probably going to be a tight end / fullback hybrid. Completely agree. That's kind of what we're needing, right? We got our two inline tight ends, don't you think, Tim? You got Luke Musgrave as tight end one, most likely. You got Tucker Kraft, who did a phenomenal job last year. Those are two attached. That's your 12 personnel tight ends. Not that either of them can't play H, but yep, it's probably the type of tight end you're looking for is an H-back, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, a little bit of depth with Tyler Davis coming off of this this knee. I don't think it's time to write him off just yet. Here's a guy that's got a chance to get back. And, you know, that could be a great scenario. If we're getting contributions from him and Sims back there, you know, that opens things up as far as depth on this roster, which is a good thing, you know, moving forward. So, I mean, there are a couple tight – I mean, Andy's right. There are a couple tight ends worth picking up in this draft for sure. You know, it's just a matter, are they going to fall to us where we want them?
Right.
Potentially would want them.
What do you think, Emilio? You'd be all right with them taking an H-back if we could find one in this draft?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but again, how much do they have to learn to hop into Matt LaFleur's offense would be my only, you know, question on that. If we throw AJ in there at H-back, he's already got the running back down. He's, you know, he's been around the tight ends. He kind of knows, you know, he knows all the routes. He knows all the calls. I'd be, you know, a little bit more happy with that, but I wouldn't be opposed if there's a dog that can play that position. He can hand the ball off and he also has good hands. I would, you know, let's hop on it. I'd take him.
Yeah, for sure. We got JLabra88 in the chat says, I hear we might be playing in Brazil in September. I believe I've got a video queued up here from Matt. I think it was from Matt Schneiden, where they actually asked Mark Murphy about that, because it sounds like it's narrowed down now, and I got a tweet to go along with it. Let's see what Mark Murphy had to say about potentially playing in Brazil here.
I think we'll obviously hear soon on that with the league. Yeah, we're very supportive of international play. The one issue with Green Bay, though, are the size of our airport and the size of our runway. And we want to make sure that we're not at a competitive disadvantage in terms of how long it's going to take us to get to Brazil. There's some some thought that we might have to bus to Milwaukee and then fly, just some of those things. So, but, I anticipate probably within the week we'll find out. So it's either us or Cleveland. If they choose us, we'll welcome it. I think it'd be exciting. It'd be the first game ever in Brazil, and could be exciting, but want to make sure that we're, some of those things are worked out.
So there you go. I know there's another huge Packers fan base in Brazil too. I think there's a couple Twitter pages dedicated to Packers fans in Brazil, but it was actually Ryan Wood who tweeted that video out. Want to give credit there. He's a great follow too, by the way, guys, @ByRyanWood. He said, Mark Murphy says he should know within a week whether the Packers are playing the Eagles in Brazil during 2024 season. It's between the Packers and the Browns as the Eagles opponents. Murphy on the one potential, quote, competitive advantage issue that could, plague them or whatever. And he's obviously talking about that, having to travel by bus out of town to get to an airport, I guess, that can take them.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
To Brazil, but or however the connections work. I mean, I know private jets and stuff is pretty common nowadays, especially if your name's Diddy. We won't get into all that. My man on the run right now, sounds like. So he's last seen in Miami. You guys following that? That got hot kind of quick, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm not gonna say nothing. I've got a plethora of opinions on Mr. Combs. I'll leave those to myself for right now.
What do you think?
This is not new news,
right? That's you gonna take him out of the rotation, Emilio?
allegedly, we have to say that, right?
Yeah, I'll pass on all comments for now.
Allegedly, for the 13 people watching this stupid little program. Allegedly, there you go.
You sure about that?
That was just wild, man, waking up to see that. Everybody was like, oh, whoa, he just bailed. He went out of the country. But, that's the price you paid, right, to play the game, I guess.
This is like this Brazil thing. That's the price we pay, right? We're the Packers. We've got a global following. There are a lot of fans of the Packers in Brazil. So the fan in me wants this to happen, right? It's not going to cost us a home game. I believe this is considered an Eagles home game. So we don't lose a game at Lambeau over this, which is a good thing. But Mark Murphy brings up a great point. I mean, traveling and logistics is a real thing. And when you've got, two airplanes full of players and staff and equipment and security and all of these things, it's a lot of moving pieces. And then you throw in let's travel internationally on top of it. And, oh, by the way, let's get ready and play a football game. It can get a little complicated. So, Cleveland's airport is bigger than Austin Straubel. So it probably would make sense for the Browns to get a direct flight internationally. But I think either way it goes, we'll will be able to pull it off if they do in fact choose the Packers. And I think Mark Murphy's right. It's good for the NFL, and it's good for our fans too, Green Bay fans too, internationally get a chance. I mean, I think about people in Brazil that, you know, what would it take for them to come to Lambeau Field to see a game, you know? So an opportunity to get to see the Packers, you know, down there in Rio or wherever they're going to play would be awesome.
Exactly. No, that would be wild for them. Like, it's exactly it, Tim. We got to go to, you know, got to come up to North America to make it to a game, right? So that would be crazy for them. But hey, if they're going down there and playing, everybody get hydrated, right? It's going to be a different level of humidity. It's going to be a different game down there. But that would be awesome. And yeah, you know, support Packer fans everywhere. I love it.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. So yeah, there's your Packers potentially in Brazil news there, right? And actually, Mark Murphy went on to make another comment. Yeah, Eric Sutherland, no private jets for us peasants. There you go, right? Yeah, so Mark Murphy made a comment here too about Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur and how they've done a good job working together. I think we would all agree. Let's see what Mark Murphy said going into his final year. It's pretty wild, man. You know, you're getting old when you get to see someone their entire career as the CEO, acting CEO of the Green Bay Packers as it kind of comes to an end. I think he's done a hell of a job, me personally. I know he can be quirky and all that. I think he's done a great job. You don't believe me, just go walk through Titletown. It's just absolutely amazing from what it was. But, yeah, so here is Mark Murphy just commenting on Brian Gutekunst and Coach Matt LaFleur.
It's been great. You know, it's, I mean, if you had told me a year ago, you know, we'd be here, you know, in the playoffs. Should have, I mean, we didn't lose to the 49ers, but, I mean, we were in that position. Yeah, I can't say enough good things about both Matt and Brian. And Russ Ball is a key part of that as well. But, you know, the way Matt and Brian work together, it's really bodes well ahead for the future.
65%.
That's what we.
I'm glad you hit that because I was just about to do the same thing.
You have it queued up. I love it when he gets tickled himself, man. It just always cracks me up. It's like reminds me of my Uncle Bill, man. He just he's genuine. One thing you could say about Mark Murphy is he ain't afraid to be himself, you know. And right. He's like a great dude. Now, I love these people that are like, oh, I don't know anything about football, like. Dude led the league in interceptions 1 year playing for Washington way back in the day. Love to see him in his prime and some of these knuckleheads that talk crap about him in their prime and just let them strap up and crack skulls for a second. I guarantee you Murphy put them on the keister. But, yeah, what do you think about as far as the state of the Packers? Let's go around the horn with that real quick and what he was saying with how, you know, obviously Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur have worked together. You know, right off the top, you think of the whole Aaron Rodgers situation. You could tell Matt LaFleur wanted to keep Aaron. But once the decision was made, you got to give Coach LaFleur credit because he just jumped right on board, didn't he, Tim? And just got another great quarterback prospect here, man.
And I think that's a testament to what I think Mark Murphy was really talking about with them working together. I think we hear work together. You think that they're arm in arm and they're in the room together and they're making all these decisions together. I don't necessarily think it's that. I think, you know, Goody's job is to provide talent. And Matt LaFleur's job is to maximize that talent. And I believe they, you know, collaborate very well together, put it that way. That's a great point like you made. You know, maybe they weren't in lockstep with the Aaron Rodgers decision. But ultimately, Matt, you know, did what he needed to do, which is coach this football team. And I firmly believe whether it's this year or the year after that, we're going to get over that mountain that we keep running into here lately. I mean, you look at Matt LaFleur since the moment he set foot in Green Bay, he's been knocking on the door the whole time, regardless of the turnover, change of personnel. You know, Matt is able to maximize talent and Goody is a master at bringing talent in. He's a great talent evaluator. I firmly believe he's going to smack this draft out of the park, just like he did last year. And we're going to be rolling. I mean, it speaks to you see Jordan Love making the rounds on the podcast. He's confident. Mm-hmm. He's confident that we're going to go on a run this year. And that's not a young player just being arrogant. That's right. A young player that knows what's going on here and what he's been a part of these last 4 years in building this. The next step is NFC title and a trip to the Super Bowl. So, you know, I do. I think Matt and Brian do work well together, but I think it's more of a you know, everyone stays in their lane and kind of, you know, does their job and does it well. And they're great at collaborating for sure.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think, Emilio?
I mean, we wouldn't be here talking, right? If it weren't for them, they've turned the team around when we needed rebuilds, when we needed retools, whatever we call it. And they've been through the ups and downs, and the talent they're putting out on the field, right? The game that we get to watch every Sunday is incredible. So I don't understand how we could be disappointed in what they do, man. Even if they had a losing season, you know, even if it was, 8-10 or whatever, even if it was 7 and, there's progress. We want a Super Bowl every year, right? But it's like the Packers expect it, and, the fan base expects it. So anything less is a disappointment. Everyone's learning, right? It's not, everything doesn't have to be a disappointment if it's not a Super Bowl, because at some point, it's going to come around, right? We're going to get our due. And they think that they think and know that behind the scenes, they're building something that we can't see. We're dealing with what we're given. But they got the inside scoop, and that's like what Tim said. We love to see it, man. The way he's carrying himself, the way Jordan loves walking around, all that. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. Like it's crazy. Like how many teams during a rebuild, quote unquote rebuild season, they lose a franchise quarterback. You've got a bunch of young rookies on your team. How many of those teams see playoff football that season? Let alone win a playoff game and make a mini run at a conference championship. So that's really cool. That's a testament to Matt LaFleur and Goody right there for sure.
It really is, man. If you'd have told me going into last season, hey, you guys are going to get a playoff win, I would have rolled my eyes. I'd have been like, nah, man. If we sniff the playoffs, you heard me talk about it all year long. Anything more than a six win season, it's a good year, based on the roster. And that's the thing too. Like the halfway point of the season, really a third of the way through the season, I'm kind of defending Matt LaFleur. Like, guys, stop with the fire, Matt LaFleur stuff. It's a young team, this and that. And I would not have voted against Coach LaFleur if he would have just kind of took the approach of, hey, guys, we're a young team. He shut that down. Yep. He's like, we're no longer a young team. We're 4 years into the season, or four games into the season, whatever it was. And he amped up the pressure. And, man, right. They really, really responded to.
Yeah, and I'm not at fault either. I thought 11 wins, right? It's that expectation that they've given us. They've been good for so long that's all we want. That's all we need. That's all we can have. It's crazy that they've been able to do that.
A lot to be happy about in Green Bay right now, for sure.
That is a possum in a dumpster.
Exactly right. I love how his voice broke up too while he was trying to get it out with that country.
Yeah. Got caught up in mid.
It's not as easy as it sounds, is it, Jacob?
Those of you listening on the pod.
I love it. So, Keyshawn Nixon, obviously the new rule change and everything. I'm sure he's excited because the goal is to create more explosive plays. I had a video queued up earlier, and like a knucklehead, I didn't play it. And it was the XFL guys talking about why they implemented that rule. And it created 90% more returns, if I understood correctly. 90% more kick returns, right? And the 90% kick return rate, I think is what it was. And in the NFL, there's only a 40% kick return rate. So, I mean, it was just crazy how successful it was in the XFL, right? But as soon as that rule got passed, did you guys see Keyshawn Nixon's tweet?
Yeah.
He immediately tweeted this out. Bro, I was crying. So for those of you on the pod, it's the meme of the guy with the bright yellow jacket kind of peeking around the trees, rubbing his hands together, licking his lips, like, all right, it's opportunity right here. And it was cool, too, because you've seen Rashawn Gary respond to the tweet, too. And he quote tweeted Keyshawn from March 20th, about 6 days ago, yep, where Keyshawn said, go ahead and approve that kick return rule, and I'm going to go back to back to back, hashtag K9. Rashawn Gary quote tweeted that and said, you got it, bro. Keyshawn Nixon, season loading, about to be scary. Go, Pack, go. Love to see the unity across the board from everybody on this team, man. They seem to have this camaraderie that I think is just absolutely awesome. You already seen Keyshawn, if I remember correctly, him and Xavier McKinney having exchanges on Twitter. So X is going to step right in and just meld right together with that with that whole team. But this is a cool video too. You know, today we signed Greg Joseph, right? That was his name, right, Tim? Greg Joseph, the kicker, from Minnesota, right? But you guys remember a few years ago when Keyshawn Nixon, it was actually the year before last, Keyshawn Nixon housed a, I think it was a second half opening kickoff return for a touchdown against the Minnesota Vikings. Guess who the kicker was? It was Greg Joseph. We showed you earlier the PFF grades and how effective Greg Joseph is on kickoffs, right? So that's a strength to his game and one that Anders Carlson has been kind of weak at there in his rookie year. But this is really cool. This is Keyshawn Nixon and Greg Joseph kind of chatting after the game after he housed one on. This is really cool. This may come in a little hot, so watch your ears if you got earbuds in. Hopefully it ain't too loud. Here we go.
Bro.
You gonna give me one? Bro. I just needed one.
I can't believe it. And you added insult to injury. You stiff arm. That's crazy. Bro, how deep was that?
That 105.
So that was five? That was five?
Shot.
Bro, I can't, because that's the first one I've ever getting up my whole career.
Really?
Appreciate it. Hey, man, stay healthy. Best of luck.
Appreciate it, bro.
No more.
Love it. So obviously,
Keyshawn says you tried, bro. Good try.
And he said, insult to injury, you stiff arm me too. He loved to see it.
How cool is it that these guys are teammates now? This is awesome.
That was the one where they did like the arcade game, right? Where he was like collecting the coins, running up through. That one was absolutely great, man.
Yeah, we actually had it as our intro here on PTA for a while.
I remember, and the camera angle was wild too. It's like the time when they used the Skyover cam. And the one time he takes it to the house, and they were like, yes, the NFL was like so smart. Whoever picked that camera this time, you're getting a raise.
I wonder if they were on it from the kickoff, and then the producer was screaming, like, don't cut away from that camera.
You're
like,
fired.
James cameras.
Yeah, it was. It was the Sky, the wire cam right behind the kick team. So you seen him cutting, weaving, gaining acceleration, and then the camera had to swing around.
The camera was like, whoa.
Lambeau leap, beer spilling on him. Just the whole nine yards. It's what you love to see in Green Bay. It's everything that's right with the Green Bay Packers, no doubt about it. I know we got a herd of people in here watching on YouTube and on X. If you're on X and you like this type of content, you can click on my profile right there on X, and you'll see a YouTube link where you can hop over to the YouTube channel and subscribe to the channel. And it's a little easier interface where you can hang out with everybody in the chat, and we'll be able to get your comments and thoughts on the show. Right there on YouTube. Just a little bit easier interface. If you're more comfortable with Twitter, it's totally cool. Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. You can call it bunk bed. I don't care. But, again, that YouTube link is there in my profile if you do want to hop over to YouTube. We're also on Rumble as well. We're on Facebook, all that good stuff. So appreciate y'all hanging out with us this evening. Hit that like button for us too if you don't mind. I hate to ask, but it does help boost the algorithm and help other Packer fans find this type of content, this channel. So, Drew D in the chat said, Nixon is the closest thing we've had to Desmond Howard. And you guys remember, I completely agree, Drew. And you remember way back in the day, they cut Desmond Howard loose, right? Yep. Really West Coast offense-based teams and the way they're built, totally the opposite from those East Coast teams, right? Like the Bill Parcells teams, the Bill Belichick teams. They build the nucleus of their team around special teams. They think it's 33.3% important to the game of football, as were the West Coast offense style teams. They're more like, hey, let's focus on offense, and you kind of put special teams on the back burner a bit. So it's obvious with Mike Holmgren being there, they were thinking, oh, we can just let Desmond go, no big deal. He was a game changer, man. It's nice to see him kind of learning from their mistakes as an organization and bringing back Keyshawn. If we get one touchdown this year, guys, it'll be worth it. It'd be worth every cent, right? I mean, it, not to mention the great field position where he was basically the best kick returner in the game last year. I completely agree, though, Drew. I think he is the closest thing that we've had in Green Bay to a Desmond Howard for sure, man.
But do you think that Rich Bisaccia is going to be cooking up a plan? You know, like, well, how many blocking schemes can we set up? You know, what are we going to run here? How's Key going to line them up?
I think Keyshawn doesn't care. I think that man just wants the ball. He don't care if everyone misses their assignment. That guy's going to find a seam and he's going to hit it. Time will tell, though. There's going to be an adjustment period. What's going to be fun is to be at camp and watching these guys do this in practice. Definitely. And really practicing and going through the motions of what these new returns and this new kickoff system is going to be. You know, we got a sneak peek with the XFL a couple years ago looking at that, but you know, time will tell what it's going to look like in the National Football League.
But think about it for real though. Like if they start running down, people start breaking through the blocks, right? And Keyshawn makes two cuts, like who's going to stop him? The kicker? No, like that's all that's left, right? Everyone's already down there. It's over. You make one or two people miss, it's over. No one else is still running down, you know, trying to hold the back. Unless they're going to start, like, you know, they don't engage. Maybe they, like, loop around or something. It's going to be wild.
Yeah, I wonder if we see that, you know. Like, you know, I don't believe the rules say you have to engage once the ball's touched, right? You could have guys fading back, you know, to support safety if the return net. Does get through. Yeah, like a safety net.
Right.
So,
it'll be interesting. Wild to see.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing, too, is you've seen on some of the highlights from the XFL when they were just trying to showcase that new rule change, several reverses on the kick returns, which is wild. Like, yeah, that was interesting. A little chicanery out there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
So, that terrifies me. I don't like that. Don't get fancy back there.
Yeah, throwing the ball across. Yeah.
No. Let's run some fake reverses, maybe. A little decoy. Yeah. But you start playing 1919 football back there, you get yourself in trouble.
It goes hand in hand with what Ron said, too. I immediately shifted to this side. He said, I'm actually a little nervous about us covering kicks.
Yep.
Me too, man.
Amen. Amen.
Yin and yang there. Jay Cole in the chat said, Nixon takes two back this year. Sign it up, man. Let's do it. Let's roll. Let's see here. John Oy Watt in the chat says, thoughts on Nixon playing more on the defensive side of the ball. You know, he played a ton last year. Janoy, I hope I'm saying that right, Janoy. He might have played more snaps than anyone in the secondary last year, actually, as far as the cornerback position with all the injuries that floated around. But he was that slot corner, man. There's no doubt about it. Let's see. Coach Lynn in the chat says, field position with Nixon will show up all year. Might be tons of short fields to work with. I always hear Coach Mike McCarthy talking about the invisible yardage. It's absolutely huge. Yep. Absolutely huge in the game of football. United Bates in the chat said, I found McAfee's comments interesting. He seems to think kickers are still going to boot it into the end zone and just take it at the 30. That's exactly what – who else was it? Someone else said that. Gosh, it was – I know McAfee said it. Someone else said it as well. It might have been Michael Lombardi that was talking about that as well. I could see that being the case. I could. But, again, we'll see. There might be a little more incentive to try to just get it in that target zone and see if you can catch them in a bad spot and, you know, put them on a short field or put them on a long field, I should say.
Can Keyshawn return it if it goes into the end zone? Like, how's that?
I can't remember. I want to say that was in the rules that you can't, but I could be wrong. Do you remember that specific, Tim, if the ball goes into the end zone, can you?
It was automatic touchback if it
– Really?
That's what I was like.
So heel on the end zone or, you know, heel on the goal line and – anything over your head you can't touch?
I think so.
But maybe they start finding them. Maybe if the NFL, like, everybody's kicking it through the end zone and taking it on the 30, like, that's exactly what they were trying to avoid in the first – that's what they're trying to avoid now by, you know, implementing this. So maybe they start hitting them with, you know, extra unsportsmanlike after the third one or something like that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Blake B in the chat said, who do y'all want as the second returner next to Nixon? The best on the team, hands down, is Jaden Reed. I know you asked, who do you want back there? I don't want Jaden Reed returning kicks, man. I'm worried about him getting hurt. You know, he's so important. He's that Swiss Army knife of the offense. But nonetheless, man, injuries happen, right? Put yourself in the best position to win and get the best people on the field in all three phases of the game, offense, defense, and special teams. Who would yours be, Tim? Would it be Jaden Reed too, or do you got someone else in mind?
Yeah, that would be my gut reaction. I think a lot of us would say Jaden Reed, but, you know, to your point, I don't want to see him get clobbered on a return and then we don't have him in the pass game. But there's a couple guys that have some wheels, you know, that we could look at. Hey, maybe it's someone that we draft this year. Maybe we don't even know who that player is just yet. But yeah, I would definitely say Jaden Reed would be my first pick for sure.
Yeah, first thing that came to mind, I don't know why, I thought of Carrington Valentine. I don't know why. And then the other one was maybe Bo Mel and throw him back there. Okay. Something like that. You know, we want the speed, but I have no idea why I thought of that.
It's crazy too, because when you think kick return, you think get your speediest guys back there, but it's really more about spatial awareness, elusiveness, and agility. You know what I mean? That change of direction.
Yeah, you need someone that can shimmy.
Yeah, for sure, man. And that's why sometimes, you know, some of the guys that aren't the fastest, like Keyshawn Nixon isn't one of the fastest players in the league, right? We've seen him get ran down a couple times. But, boy, in that short space, and he's a psycho on punt returns. Like, that dude is fearless. He will – I mean, it takes a different kind of cat to stare straight up in the air while, you know, 8, 9, 10 guys are running full speed at you, ready to take your head off. The rules say they can't hit you early. The rules say they can't hit you when you call for a fair catch. That does not mean they won't hit you when you call a fair catch. And that's always in the back of your mind, right? Another one too, Corey Ballantyne came to mind for me. If I remember correctly, when he was younger, that was one of the positives to his game, was he could return kicks. I could be misremembering that, but someone said, who was it that said Carrington Ballantyne in here?
I did.
You did? Okay. So it's funny you mentioned that, because I immediately thought, look at his RAS, 9.3. So I'm sure he had a decent speed composite grade.
Perfect.
So yeah, that's that may be one that just comes out of nowhere too as a backup.
He had a pick last year, right? Am I thinking right?
I don't know if he did or not. I was trying to think about that the other day. I know he dropped a couple, but I'm trying to remember. Tim, did he ever get an interception last year? I don't think Carrington did.
I don't think he did. Yeah. I don't believe so.
I've
had one. I don't think it was Valentine.
Yeah.
Just picture him running around with, like, you know, holding it like a loaf of bread. You know, just juking out 2-3 people, get the extra 3 yards, and then, you know, gets down sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Let's see.
You're totally right, Clayton. It's not all speed, man. You got to have hands, and you got to be able to make a quick decision too. You see a lot of returners, like, they kill themselves right away just by being indecisive, and then they can't make up their mind, and then next thing you know, they're shuffling their feet and they're tackled. You know, Keyshawn is a master at, there's a seam, I'm going to hit that seam until it's not there. If I got to cut it back, I'll cut it back then. I'm just going to go with my gut and I'm gone. That's what you need. You need that, like you said, a different breed, different type of player, man. Whole different monster in the return game. So, you know, we were just talking about Desmond Howard, right? You know, being a great returner doesn't always mean you're going to be a great receiver. And he was on that Packers team loaded with receiver talent. And he didn't see a lot of reps as a wideout. But, man, in the special teams unit, he was deadly. And for a lot of the same reasons that we just talked about.
Yeah, another one that comes to mind too, wasn't a great receiver, but a great returner. We played against him forever, Devin Hester. Same thing. Spatially aware, good in tight quarters. That dude could shift around, move, change directions, get the top speed real quick. Not that he had afterburners when he hit top speed, but just had that quickness, that quick twitch. Eric Sutherland in the chat said, can Royce Newman return kicks?
You can call me anything you want, but don't call me
that. That would be funny to watch, I got to say, man. I would love to see Royce Newman go back there with that Kentucky waterfall and just return one or two kicks. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, they'll probably have to go to a commercial break if he breaks open to the open before he gets to the end zone. They'll have to take a commercial break.
Can of corn. I'll be fine. Can of corn.
And then right after he scores the tutter, he's going to be like,
Took it down the sideline, turned up with my guys, gave the football to a little kid wearing 23.
That's got to be one of the best sound bots in Packers history, man. Oh, I love it. Yeah. Everybody paying respect here to Devin Hester. Chad Inc. said, Hester was amazing. I hated it when we actually kicked to him. He was something else. I remember that Super Bowl, too. Didn't he return one in the Super Bowl in the rain against the Colts? And they were not going to kick at him. And then, sure enough, they slipped up, kicked one at him. He housed it in the Super Bowl. He was really good. Now, do I think he should be in the Hall of Fame? That's a topic for another day. There's a lot of other players that I see as like, that's a hard sell for me. But he did make it in, right? He is officially in the Hall of Fame as a kick returner, old Devin Hester, if I remember correctly. Maybe I dreamed that too. I don't know. But let's see what else we got here in the chat. United Bates says, 40-yard touchback if the ball doesn't reach the landing zone or out of bounds. 30-yard yard line touchback if the ball lands in the end zone or out of the back. So, yeah, if it goes out of bounds, no, if it doesn't land in the landing zone or it goes out of bounds, they get it at the 40-yard line. If the ball goes into the end zone, it's going to be at the 30. So there is a little more incentive, right, to not kick it in the end zone because it's going to cost you 5 yards as opposed to last year where they would put it at 25.
So no penalty for kicking it out of bounds anymore?
I think that's what he's saying there. It goes to the 40 if it doesn't reach
the sidelines out of bounds, before the goal line out of bounds, sideline. So like how it used to be an illegal, you know, illegal kick or whatever.
Legal procedures.
Yeah, that's what it is. Legal procedure. Right.
Okay. Yeah,
something like that.
So we got rid of squib kicks though.
Yeah, I guess so, right?
Yes, I mean you can pooch kick it, but
it won't reach the landing zone, so you're giving up.
Right,
you get to them on the 40 anyway.
You want that thing to be a sky ball. Or no, you can't. You just want it to get to them. You actually probably want a low trajectory, right? You want it to be almost a knuckleball right to Keyshawn mm-hmm. so that it gets in his hands quick and yep. he doesn't have a lot of time to that's going to be weird, man.
It's why we showed the video earlier too, right, Tim? Because we were watching. It was just like, this looks strange.
Yeah.
This looks really strange. But again, man, I'm sure when we broke out the very first automobile way back in the day, our great grandpappies, they said, this is strange. I'm going to keep my horse, right? Okay. So innovation, man. And sometimes, you know, a large majority of the time you change them for the better, although knuckleheads like me don't want to change.
Ooh, okay. All right. So what about like free kicks? What happens on like safeties?
That's a good question. What would happen? I imagine that would stay the same where they have to punt it, you know, probably.
But like you move it. But the problem with the safety was you punted from even further back, didn't you? Didn't you start at like the 20?
It seems like it was a little further back.
25 or something.
So like, yeah. Then you got the whole different landing zone there. Oh, man, it's going to be wild to see this whole season.
That's a great question, Amelia. I was just going to chalk it up and say, no, the safety punts probably didn't change. But if they do implement that, yeah, that would be, like John said here, if you get a safety, then you sky punt it. Punt that thing to the moon, right?
Yep.
Hang it up there. It's going to be interesting, man, no doubt. And I imagine they're going to continue to use it in the newly merged UFL, right, where they took the USFL and the XFL. They should be kicking off here. They may already – it might actually be this coming week. If you want to get a good look at that, I'm pretty sure they'll be using that in the new UFL league, which we'll have football all spring. I'm excited about it, man. I really enjoyed the USFL last year. There was nothing better, man, than grilling out in the middle of beautiful weather and catching a football game, a little spring football league. I love it, man. So there you go. Anything else you guys want to hit on before we wrap this thing up, man? We're at the 50-minute mark. I love when we can lean on the chat like this, man. Absolutely.
Clayton, the UFL kicks off this Saturday.
Does it really?
No way.
There will be some daddy sodas flowing this Saturday. We're going to watch a little football, boys and girls. That's what's going to happen. So.
Battle of the 2023 champions, Birmingham at Arlington, 1 p.m. Eastern on Fox, Saturday, March 30th. So we're a couple days away, boys.
All right, everybody get out there, start taking notes, scout your team, scout your players. We got to see who Goody's going to snag up.
We're going to be doing.
I'm just going to watch the kickoffs. That's it. That's all I'm doing.
We're going to be doing chalk talk segment. No, we're not. We're not going to do that. But it's more football. And, you know, I know people roll their eyes when you talk about old Mr. Magoo making the practice squad for the Packers last year, but he was the MVP of the USFL, if I remember correctly. You know, I love those stories, man. It may not mean nothing to us fans. Oh, yeah, okay, he's on the practice squad. Yippee. That dude's living out his dream, doing everything he can, taking every opportunity he can to try to keep this thing going, man. I appreciate that when people's got that kind of drive. You know, I'm not the top to show my rear end and make fun of Kurt Benkert because they didn't have the most successful year, you know what I'm saying, or career. That just always cracks me up how fat, out of shape, middle-aged men are, you know, on Twitter acting like Kurt Benkert didn't accomplish anything. You know, it's just like, what have you done with your freaking life, you moron? How even do you have to try to dog someone? Oh, yeah, well, you didn't make it long in the league. Okay, with your Cheeto stains on your whitey tighties. I got you.
People are, their only profession is professionally being a hater, you know?
Yeah, sad. Man. That's a fact, dude. That is a fact. And Coach Lynn says Goot's already out there scouting for sure. I guarantee you they have every team in the league has someone designated to kind of keep an eye on this league and go, all right, let's see who can we kind of, if anything, make your practice squad better, right, Coach Lynn? Like you can, you know, you can get better talent in on your practice squad. That's going to increase the talent across the league. Not that it's just a slam dunk that someone from the UFL can make the practice squad in the NFL, but I don't know. It's just more football, man. More football. Number one Packer fan said, put me in. I can block. There you go. So
thank you. Some, at least somebody can.
So, yeah. Yeah, I love it. Eric Sutherland, 50-year-old roofer and a father of seven. I'm living my dream. There you go, Eric. That's what I'm talking about, big dog.
You sure about that?
Damn brutal. Yeah. Yeah, Ron Samble, look at this. He said, easy on the fat middle-aged guys, please. Oh, man, hey, I might as well look in the mirror, big dog. I'm talking to myself, too. But I don't know if that makes sense, what I said. But it just cracks me up, man, how people are, you know. Rather than build someone up, it's, hey, let's tear them down and point out what they haven't accomplished rather than what they have, you know. Need a little less of that in the world. Let's see here. Coach Lynn says, did y'all see they brought in a rugby player for a visit? I love it. I didn't see that. Did you see that, Tim? Anybody catch that?
No, that is awesome.
Sounds good to me, man. Those dudes, you want to watch a fun sport. Go watch some rugby in the offseason.
Right. You want to watch somebody that can tackle. You watch some rugby right there.
Watch the rumbled and stumbled. Watch the women's rugby, bro. They ain't playing no games out there, man. They're out for blood. Like, mm-hmm. it's a lot of fun to watch. Just like I said, you can go to YouTube and pull up any kind of highlights, right? And yeah, rugby's a really cool sport. Many people don't even know that the NFL and American style football, it came from rugby. That's the closest thing, the closest sport to American football. They just took it and kind of said, hey, we're fat, you know, out of shape Americans. We need a breather every couple plays here. Right. So let's not play continuously. So there you go. All right, we're gonna get out of here, gang.
Eric's it's not fat; he's well fed. That's the term.
I'm pleasantly plump. According to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, the Green Bay Packers will bring former rugby star Luis Rhys-Zamit in on a free agent visit on Thursday. Rhys-Zamit played for the Rugby Union Club. How do you say that one, boys?
Gloucester?
Gloucester. Rugby, and it sounds like a sauce, doesn't it? Rugby in England, as well as with the Welsh national team. And I'm
he's good enough to play in the national team. He's good enough to try out for the Packers, I'd say. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, that's a good job, though. Thanks, Coach Lynn, for bringing that up, man. Love to kind of see how that may play out there, what position they might try to fit him in, too. That rugby is an awesome sport for sure. Let's see here. Joe G says he's being brought in for offense. Okay, that's good news. So time to Google some videos on that dude, says Chris Nye. So there you go.
Well, we know what that means, right?
He can block.
He can block. Let's hit the entire. Do we still have the entire? Let's hit the entire video. People are going, where is that from? This was every now and again we get new listeners, new viewers, and you just got to break it out. And I gotta set the foundation. We just got our rear ends kicked in a game, and this is the post
game
show.
Pretty sure it was a Steelers game.
Still, Emilio always points that out. It's like he's got PTSD from it. So
that was probably one of the more frustrating.
It was sure. Horrible. For sure. Hell or high water, we're doing a post-game show, guys. That's just something. And I told the guys, y'all don't have to jump on. I'm doing a post-game show. I'm sticking to it. And if we do get on here, we're not going to be depressed. We're going to try to pick people up. Yeah, what do I always tell you, Tim, before we go live? Hey, listen, these people are hurting too. Let's get in here and try to make them laugh a little bit and have a good time. Right. Tell them what happened, why did it happen. It's tough, man. I'm screaming at my TV as much as anyone. But anyway, tough loss. Focus on Tim and how pissed off he is this entire video, right? And we get a super chat where someone says, you know, basically dogging Christian Watson and what can he actually do. And Emilio just absolutely saves the day. Here we go. Again, Tall Girl, thank you for the super chat. Josh Martin with the super chat says, outside of running fast, what does Watson do well? He can't high point the ball, doesn't fight for the ball, drops the ball, gets hurt a lot.
He can block. He's been blocking well this year.
Emilio said he can block.
You can call me anything you want, but don't call me that.
Sorry, I can't imagine a receiver wants to be called a good blocker and
not good at anything
else.
No, man.
Tim, man, watching Tim's face evolve through that whole video was just hilarious.
The only time I laughed was when we got a shot of the Kentucky waterfall. Right.
It saved the day, no doubt about it. It's not the first time that the Kentucky waterfall has saved the day. It damn sure won't be the last, I promise you.
That's true.
So, all right, man. Okay. Yeah. Ex-Syracuse. All right, Chad. Appreciate the inside.
You stay out of the chat. It's off the rails.
Inside information there. Yeah.
He's trying to – this Gloucester.
Gloucester. Okay.
Okay, got it.
United Bates helping us with our Queen's English. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Someone earlier, too, they said that I pronounced their name right. Got it the second time around, man. That's awesome. I'm sure I'll screw it up next time. I promise you. I never say the same thing twice. So. But, yeah, let's see. Drew D, that's the most angry I've ever seen Emilio. I swear, LOL.
I wasn't even angry. He probably was talking about Tim.
Probably talking about
me. He's talking about Tim? I don't know, man. I was trying, man. I was trying to find anything. I was like, everything he said at that point in the season was true. So it's like, I'm not going to go, that ain't true. I was just like, Emilio, he can block. That 12-year-old voice. I love it. All right. Let's get out of here. Anything else, boys?
No, I don't think so.
You got anything there, Emilio?
No, man. I had a nice hot shower. Rained on all day. It's good. I've got to talk Packers. I'm good to call it.
There you go. All right, we're going to get out of here, gang. Again, I ate too much meatloaf, man. I'm hurting over here. I'm just going to go to bed. I'm going to crawl up the steps like the beached whale that I am and just call it a night. You know what I'm saying?
Things could be a lot worse. I could be a Bears fan.
You could. You're right, Jai. Completely agree, man.
Man, he's going to hit the stairs a little bit of oil. And.
Oh, no. I'm done with the oil, man. I'm telling you, the oil and the brownies. Golly. Man, that was some pain right there. So, all right, guys, parting advice as we leave you this evening. We'll be back tomorrow, obviously, for PTA Live tomorrow evening for sure. Just
for those of you listening on the pod,
a couple tips as we part ways here.
Wash your hands, wash your butt, man. That's it. That's all.
All right, we're out. Appreciate everybody hanging out with us. Thank you, everybody in the chat. For those of you listening on the pod, thank you for making us a part of your day. And as always, let's go out and be the change we want to see in the world. Go, Pack, go.
The power sweep. Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
Yes, our YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. Tell the tackle. Take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.